Welcome to Learn, Grow, Succeed Conversations podcast, and I'm your host, Sharon Newey. If you want to become the extraordinary leader today's organisations need, then listen now as on this special Conversations episode, I'm joined by two special guests. Ton Schoendebeek, Global Talent Leader and Chairman of Mindshare Benelux, and Clara Gräslund, who is the CEO of Mindshare Sweden. And in a moment, I'm going to invite Ton and Clara to share a little more about themselves. In today's podcast, we are going to be talking with Ton and Clara about a senior leadership development program that came about through a collaboration with Mindshare and Excel Communications. And we're going to find out a little bit more about what was the situation in the organization in terms of why this program was developed in the first place. But also, and I think people listening will find this really helpful, is to learn about how the program has evolved and especially the kind of results that Mindshare have gained from this particular development program. So, Ton, Clara, welcome. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And Ton, perhaps I could invite you, first of all, just to share with the audience a little bit more about Mindshare as an organization and a little bit of perhaps about your role, because it's an interesting sort of dual role that you have as well.
Okay. Yes, I'm happy to introduce Mindshare. Mindshare is a global network of media agencies that really brings together brilliant people to help our clients grow their business and profitability. We do this through what we call adaptive marketing, and as an approach, and we bring in original thinking for building stronger brands and creating better performances for our clients. We do this around the world. We are a global company. We have 115 offices in 85 markets and close to 9,000 people. Although we are 20 years old or young, we still call ourselves young, by the way.
I like it.
Yeah. And we are still run, let's say, like when we started, like a startup company or at least with the pioneering spirit that we had 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. And much to do with the fact that many of the founders are still with the company, and that includes our global CEO, Nick Emery, and also myself. I will talk later about that. But Mindshare tries to avoid being a real corporate company, despite the fact that we are a $1 billion plus company. And basically that shows off by having no executive committee, no formal exco, but more like a round table inspired by King Arthur. We also have values like speed, teamwork, provocation that came out of the DNA of the company, and that has close links to what we call the punk spirit of the 80s, and more than the corporate world of bankers or whatever.
Mm.
Mindshare clients are unique as well. Of course, we have, as our clients, we have seasoned, let's call it seasoned marketeers like Unilever, General Mills, but also challenger clients like Booking.com, Facebook, and of course, not to forget one of our most defining clients in the network is Nike. So that mixture is quite unique. At the same time, we are part of WPP, well known as the creative transformation company that's going through a huge transformation process itself under the leadership of Mark Read. So it's a dynamic environment we are operating in, because it's the media environment, it's media and entertainment, but it's also our own organization development that makes it a very good place to be at this moment in time.
It sounds like a really, creative but an inspiring culture, and the fact that you have kept this pioneering spirit that you describe. I'm sure a lot of people will be interested to hear a little bit more about that, but maybe that's another podcast. But so thank you for that. And so how about your role? Because you're global talent lead, which is a huge role, I imagine, with 9,000 people, but also, you have this other role, chairman of Benelux too.
Yes, I can. My role, the dual role, is it's a good one. Let's start. I'm one of the founders, as I mentioned already. So I started 20 years ago Mindshare in the Netherlands, in Amsterdam. I make it to one, or we, with our team, we made it to the leading agency in the country, and it still is in terms of scale and reputation. After that, I created Group M in the Netherlands and became the first CEO, back to Mindshare in more international roles, including Europe, or in Europe, including Belgium and the Nordics, including, of course, lovely Sweden. I did some global new business development project. And then a couple of years ago, I was asked by Nick Emery, who is now a global CEO, but he asked me when he took over the role, and he asked me to join the global team with a focus on our people and culture.
Right.
And of course, there was a fancy title attached to it, like Global Talent Lead, or I think sometimes they call me Chief Global Talent Officer, but it's all in a name. Because it's really the role is to support all our leaders across the world in taking care of people and culture. Because it's not something which someone owns in the center. It's I think every one of our leaders has to be involved in their people and culture. And you mentioned next to that there's still the chairman role in the Benelux, and that is still means it's involvement in not the day-to-day operations, but more in the strategic direction of the company and supporting the management teams in Brussels and Amsterdam. And that is, I think, a good combination, because if you are too much focused on HR, talent, culture, then you can be distracted in a way from the day-to-day business and the challenges that we are having with our clients. And in this combination of roles, I can have both. So I'm aware of what's happening on the floor as well as in our corporate world.
Yes, and I, as I was listening to you, I had a very similar thought in terms of, you know, actually the value that with that dual role that you're able to bring to the program momentum that we will be talking about. So thanks for that, Tom. Clara, can I maybe just ask you just to introduce yourself a little bit so we have some insights?
Absolutely. So my name is Clara Grelson. I'm currently the CEO of Mindshare in Sweden. I've been with the company for almost 8 years and started in the digital department when I was a digital strategist. And then I moved on to different types of role, project management and client lead. And it was somewhere around there that my CEO at the time dropped me a question regarding a leadership program. So I have been taking part in the Momentum program, and I was in the class 15-16.
Okay, brilliant. So that's great, because we'll be able to perhaps come back to you later quite a few times to get a participant's perspective. But also, you know, because you have now transitioned into your CEO role, I guess you're probably looking at the program with a particular different set of eyes now. So that's going to be really helpful.
Yes, absolutely. I do. I think the program has given me so much, not only the content of the actual program, but also to meet colleagues in Europe and to get to share and develop in that way. But we can get more into that.
Absolutely. But I think, you know, it's really helpful to just listen to, you know, a little bit about both your stories, because, you know, straight away, what to me I'm hearing is, you know, an organization where, you know, people can grow, develop. Obviously, you know, even as a founder, one of the founders, Tom, you know, you've moved around the organization as well and things. So yeah, you know, great that showcases what Mindshare is all about, I think. But let's get into them, Tom. You know, before Momentum, was realized, what were some of the challenges, and what was the situation in the business that created a need for a leadership program like Momentum?
Yeah, so the we have to go back then to 2013-14, sorry, not that long ago. I can't think about that time, but so there was a time when I took the role within the new global team to support people and culture. And we defined then an ambition for talent, as we call it, which goes beyond, let's say, best place to work. We really wanted Mindshare to be a place where our people can do the best work of their careers. So it's quite a broad ambition. And we realized that that ambition was not fake in markets, because in many markets we were very successful in talent management and taking care of people retention. And also we spotted, and with my tour around the world, a lot of initiatives in different parts of the Mindshare world that were very interesting to see if we can bring that to other markets. So most initiatives in those markets were done by regions or at group level. So we were also part of Group M within WPP. So I spotted a lot of great activity. And the ambition was to bring a little bit more global structure around what we are doing in talent management, because that fits very well our global ambition, of course, and also our global operating model. And also because we our clients, the nature of our clients' business is basically global. So we wanted to have a more global talent management structure. And when I look in the Asia Pacific, specifically, that I spotted a lot of great talent, but also the fact that they knew each other quite well. So in different markets, but still they were very much connected to that. And when I went into in depth in the conversations with them, I learned that they knew each other basically from a training or from working together on business and for meeting each other face to face. So when I thought back about Europe and thought about some of the issues we were having in Europe, I will mention them in a minute, then I thought, well, we are a strong network in Europe, but our people were not that much connected to each other as I saw in Asia. So if a project started, it was just always starting from sometimes a little bit from scratch. So not having a base level of relationships together with some of the people. So that's what I thought, well, we need that. And at the same time, and that's how the issues in Europe was very, let's say, typical HR issue, but succession planning. So we wanted to know more about the individual agencies that we are having in Europe. How does succession planning look like? Because we had some issues with succession. And we wanted to have plans around that in different markets. We also want to know more about how we can bring the future talent, aspiring talent that we have in the agencies more in the spotlight of our regional management, and also to create a kind of network of them together. So we were thinking about a couple of those elements when we came to the idea of creating two things. One, a training for our future leaders. So really train them in developing themselves into true leaders. And second, to create a network of them. Mm. So create a network within the network of aspiring leaders. And we also, I think it's more general, a couple of years ago, we had more and more people stepping into roles that they were not used to do. So, for example, if you're great in a specific skill, let's say programmatic, and you grow to become a very, very good programmatic specialist, and normally the trend is that you will be promoted to a role and that you're leading a team of programmatic people, specialists. And that promotion, it's always happened, but you need to help and support those people who are promoted to what it is to become a leader and how to take your responsibility on that. So I mean, there was also something that we spotted that we wanted to help with. So I think leadership in a broad sense was something we need to develop better in the EMEA region, and at the same time, that network. So those were the two elements.
Brilliant. Okay. And so I guess there's lots of questions in many ways that you're wanting to answer about, you know, how do you take the good things that were happening within Asia and almost, you know, bring those to the global markets and put in place, you know, not only, I guess, you know, consistent leadership talent program, but one that is almost kind of like playing a little bit of catch up, if that would fit in terms of what you just described there, in terms of, you know, people already in roles, but maybe feeling a little bit stretched because they're not prepared in some areas to make the most and move perhaps as quickly as the organization, I imagine, would want them to move.
Correct. Yeah.
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 Brilliant. Okay. So I guess, you know, Clara, Tom's talking about, you know, when these initial conversations started happening around 2013, 2014, we'll come back and talk specifically about the program that was developed from the scenario that Tom, you've just described. But I'm curious, Clara, you know, I guess, you know, from a participant perspective, you know, you joined the program around 2015, 2016. So, you know, as an employee then that perhaps was identified as top talent, what from your perspective was, I guess, was the impact from a development point of view of yourself, perhaps, you know, pre momentum being there? What kind of were the issues perhaps as someone wanting to develop as a senior leader that you were encountering?
Yeah, well, so back in 14, when I got a question from my CEO at a time, I felt very privileged because I understood that this was something very special and it has never been done before. So I got asked to the first year of Momentum. Mm-hmm. And at the time, I don't think I really knew what it was, besides that it was for future leaders. Mm. And I've always been interested and very hungry to know more about myself and to learn more within leadership. So I instantly knew that I wanted to go through with the program. Mm. But as Tom also know, I was never in the 14 class. I was actually in 15, 16, because when we had our first meeting at the European management meeting, which was really nice also to bring all the Momentum participants to the CEO meetings, I was pregnant at the time. So I participated in the year after instead.
Yeah.
But when I got asked, I didn't really know exactly what it was, besides that it was leadership, and I was just totally into it.
Yeah. And so, you know, someone who was wanting to develop themselves and their leadership skills, what perhaps were some of the areas that you were aware of that, you know, you would value support and wanting to learn more about? Were there any specific areas that you remember?
Well, I remember that I really looked at the program, which at least that year was around, first module was a leading self, to know more about yourself as a leader and how you act, leading others, of course, the big thing, how to create high performing teams, leading business, and then leading change. That was the four modules.
Right.
So I was just very into it, you know, just by hearing those four steps.
Yeah. I guess, you know, from a leadership perspective, there's kind of like the core things. The more you know about yourself, the more, you know, hopefully you can, you know, develop as a leader.
Yeah.
Because everybody needs to understand how to lead change and lead the business. So yes, you know, I can see why that's really you know, whetted your appetite to want to participate, let's say. So before we get into the detail then of the program, because you just, you know, started to share a little bit there about it, Clara, Tom, if I could come back to yourself and just ask, what contributed towards the decision to engage and collaborate with Excel Communications on this sort of global leadership development project?
Yeah, so the... So when we identified the fact that we wanted to run a program or help our leaders in Europe by a program, our future leaders in Europe to by a program, then of course we had to we looked at different I call them suppliers, but it's a potential partners. That's maybe a better way of mentioning. And then I realized, not coming from an HR background, that I was totally blown away by the number of suppliers active in the area of leadership development. And so in that case, it's always nice to have friends and to have friends within the group. So I checked with our teams in WPP and Group M, and then they suggested a couple of potential partners. And in my conversation with Excel, and I think there was immediately something like what we call, I don't know if it's a good expression, but a click, a personal click with yes. Nick Holland. And so we had a very nice conversation. He came over to Amsterdam. We had a good meeting. He got it. The challenge that we have was not easy to write down on a piece of paper in terms of a briefing, but it's more like I had a long conversation, and I think he came back with a proposal that really hit exactly what we were aiming with the program. And also, and I think that's until now still the beauty of the partnership, the flexibility of having part of the program done by Excel and part of the program done by others. So, and that others in Europe, it's us.
Yes.
So it's something like what our own people are doing, and I will explain that later in the program. Yeah. And in Asia, where we are running at the moment the same program, which is due to the success in EMEA, we brought the program now to Asia as well. We also have another partner participating in the program. So I think that openness and the click and the good content was the reason to choose for Excel, mm-hmm. and still happy with them up to now. If that was the last question, then I will tell it now.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
if not, then.
No. So thinking about, I know you've, I guess in the introduction, you were alluding to some of the outcomes that you wanted for a development program like Momentum, and that would be about, you know, creating the network, but, you know, creating a program that would support leaders and aspiring leaders. But were there any additional sort of specific outcomes that you worked with Excel Communications on that, you know, this is what we want to deliver from the program?
Yes, in terms of the program, not in terms of, if you think about, for example, KPIs or what kind of return on investment do you want to get from the program, then to be honest, we have not defined it in that way. And that's all, I think now in a few years on, we talk more about that now,
yes.
Which is, of course, we want the retention of your future leaders, of course. We want to create a strong network that we can tap into if we need. We want to have great response from individuals, because it's also individual development. Of course, it's for the benefit of the company, but also for our individual employees. So I can call it vague, but at the same time, I think if I talk about the results so far, and I can do later as well, then I think what is important for me is the support that I still get from our top management. So from, as I call, the round table in this initiative, that we could have brought the program to Asia Pacific, that there is interest in other parts of the world to run the program, that makes it quite clear that it's a program that's valued by our people.
Yeah.
So it's a success.
Yeah, certainly. And, you know, we'll come back to you and ask you about results, because I know when I looked at the internal brochure that you have that introduces Momentum to the next group of participants, you know, it really is, you know, inspiring to see, you know, all the different participants, you know, people like yourself, Clara, who have gone on and been promoted and are, you know, heads of country and heading up major initiatives. So that's good to hear. But let's talk about that in a while. And think about the program and how the program has got people to new opportunities, I guess. So maybe you could just share a little bit, Ton, about the structure of the program and how it was developed, because you've talked about how this is a collaboration, you know, Excel Communications is a part of it, but there's key inputs, you know, from within the business, and then Clara, maybe if I could come back to you, it'd be great to just learn a little bit more about your experience as a participant. So, Tom, maybe yeah. we can get you to chat about the program first.
Yeah, so about the setup of the program, and I will mention the elements, and basically what I do when I promote the program a lot of times, but it's what I call the success factors at the moment. It's basically there are a couple of modules developed by Excel and also done by the trainers from Excel, mm-hmm. which is it all starts, and Clara mentioned it as well, is leading self. And I was surprised to learn how important that session is. It's a 3-day session, and it really makes people aware of themselves and how they are seen by others, and so it gives you the ability to adapt yourself to situations and to individuals that you're working with. So it's a very important module. Then we have leading teams, which is really how to work with teams and create strong teams, and how to get the collaborative spirit. It's leading the business. It's not leading a business, let's say, from a P&L perspective, but more like how to set the vision, how to get all your people with you, because that's of course an important. Then we bring in another element, which is at that very moment, which is leading a project, and that's done by Mancha. So that's what we are doing. So we brief all our people to work together remotely on really challenging projects, so business relevant projects. Mm-hmm. Just to mention, at the moment, it's the teams are working across Europe, and they're all related to e-commerce projects. So that's what they're doing. And then we finish off with a project called Leading Change, and I think that's an obvious one that we have to do. So in this volatile world, you also have to know how to be flexible in your leadership, and so that's the fourth module that the trainers from Excel take care. And that's the build-up of the program. But I have to say two other big important factors, or one is the coaching. So it's not going through program to program. It's really something going to a program and take it with you back to your day-to-day job and apply it in your work. And then in between the sessions, we have they have a coaching conversation with the trainers, and they will check in with them and see how things are going, how they can help them with specific challenges. So I think that's an important element as well. And then the other one which I want to mention is the participants are not alone, because they have their managers, and also when they come back to the offices, that we want their managers to be aware of what they went through on the training. So we mentioned it as a management handbook of momentum, but so that they are aware what has been done and how, what kind of questions they can ask the participants, and to, so it's they need to be involved, because as I said, you're not alone. So that's basically the program setup. And and another thing which I always like to mention, it's a program. There's a start, there's an end, but in fact there's never an end. So there's no finish line, to use one of the Nike ads of the earlier days, because it's the beginning of something. And so it's although you are left alone by us and Excel in a way, you are not really left alone, because it's the start of something bigger. So I think that's always something I have to mention when talk about the program. So it's not like ending.
No, and I understand that you have an alumni. So that network, you know, continues to grow, and people are encouraged to support each other and stay in touch, which is
and that's correct. As an alumni network, and that's not let's call it an official network, but there are WhatsApp groups. There are people who are connected to each other, who help each other. Yeah. And I'm always delighted. I travel a lot across the region, so when I'm in a market and see the Mancha alumni, and knowing that they and learning from them, they don't not only speak to each other, let's say, in a market, so alumni from different years, but also still across EMEA, they know where to find people to support them and to help them if they have, let's say, a business challenge, but also a personal challenge. And I think that last one is really something which makes this program such a unique one, that people share so much more than just the business challenges only.
Yes, and I think, and I like that word unique, because, you know, I think what you've described with the elements, I guess, of the program, this is not just a program that is about a number of days of delivery that's broken down into different modules. This is a real program where people are supported with coaching, you know, managers are involved so they can support and they can help people embed everything they're learning. It's applied to the business and the day-to-day job. And as you say, with the alumni thing, and I think, you know, certainly from my own experience, if people and participants are setting up their own groups, whether that's, you know, on WhatsApp or whatever medium it is, it's so much more powerful, isn't it, than a formal platform where, you know, well, this is the platform we're going to use and you will interact. Because I think if people are initiating these groups themselves, they're so much more committed to the collaboration and that ongoing. Yeah. So it's quite powerful.
Yeah, I totally. And I think the one thing I had to add as well to, if I call success factors, another one which I didn't mention, but it's the fact that the training is built up on different modules, and the trainers from Excel do these modules. Basically, we try to avoid having this in a typical training setting, like an hotel or something. So we always try to do this in the offices in the EMEA region. Mm-hmm. And that has a benefit, and it's also, of course, a disadvantage of you are always distracted when you are in office in another way than if you're down under in a hotel conference setting. Yeah. But the positive thing is that people experience other offices, also opportunities to meet their people, for the trainers also to be more part of Mindshare than they are. Let's say training Mindshare people without being at Mindshare, so they feel also more part of our company than at that very moment than they are if they are somewhere else. So yeah. I think that's that also brings interest by the people, our Mindshare people in the location. So they see this training happening, so they get to know more about Momentum. We always use the opportunity to talk to all of them and talk about the program. So It's also what I mean with a success factor. It's one of the good things from the program.
Yeah, yes, and certainly I'd imagine, you know, from a trainer perspective, that the more that they experience the different expressions of the culture and the different offices, that can only help them actually, you know, continue to add more and more value to the program, really, because they're just, their experience of Mindshare is just growing all the time. So Clara, can I come to yourself, as a past participant then, could you just share with people listening, you know, what some of your own experience was, you know, perhaps in terms of, you know, some of the big learnings from the program, what you valued? I'll let you share.
Yeah, absolutely. So, what I valued most, I think, from the actual content was, when I just think back about it, was a lot around management versus leadership and those different kind of perspectives, how to work with SMART goals, to be really good at following up with all the individuals and to be really clear on what's expected from them. We worked a lot on presentation skills, which I appreciated a lot. And I think that was very good for at least many people in the group that I was in. Also a lot around feedback, the purpose of feedback and developmental feedback. But also, as Ton mentioned, the first session that was about getting to know yourself, what kind of person you are and how I am acting in different kinds of situations, when I am stressed or under pressure, or when I'm happy, or when I'm just my normal self. We all have different kind of states we are in when we are our normal self. And I'm maybe not as good to communicate with the person that is more analytical, so to speak. So it was a lot of those kind of things that I thought was really interesting.
Yeah. And when you think about, you know, I guess, and I realize I'm maybe just putting you on the spot a little bit here, but, you know, when you think about your role now as a CEO and you reflect back, how do you see, you know, which parts of you really been able to draw on, you know, as a, you know, in, I guess someone in their first CEO role?
Well, when I just look at my day to day, I think I to work on delegation, to not make sure that I'm, you know, have my fingers in all the stuff that is being done, since I also grew up at Mindshare in Sweden 8 years ago. So the people I worked with back then that were maybe my managers, I am managing them. And if you grew up at somewhere, you can, and you have done stuff from scratch, you can very easily do stuff yourself. If you know what I mean. So,
Yes.
So just around the whole management versus leadership, and to delegate and to be a leader. So I'm, my goal is to just create a high performing team. Everyone else should be better than me at their specific thing. And I'm kind of like the one holding everything together. Yeah. And, I think I got a lot of that from Momentum, but I didn't realize it at the time. I'd say that a lot of it is also sinking in, you know, the more you get comfortable in your role. But the Momentum program was so great. And I think I realized in the last session, you know, what everything had kind of like, you know, given me during that year.
Yeah. And how did you find it? The fact that, you know, the program was so closely aligned to the business and your day-to-day job. How did that, I guess, make it easier, if that's the right word?
Well, we could, when we had a session, we could immediately go back and implement the stuff that we had learned. And also with the coaching calls with our coaches, it was very easy to follow up and to see if we had actually also done the stuff that we were going to do. And I had the best coach in Ruth, which I just thought was amazing. And now I don't remember the question, sorry.
Oh, that's okay. No, I was just thinking about, you know, how the fact that the program was so aligned with the day-to-day job, how,
yes,
you know, how much more, I guess, did that mean that you could gain value from the program because it was so aligned to what you guys are doing every day?
Well, it meant a lot that you could just go back and implement everything right away that you had learned from the previous session. And at the time when I started the program, I knew that I was going to go into a role of managing people, but I didn't have it at the time for the first session when it was learning about yourself. Yeah. But when I got into the sessions after that, it was so good to have a team of your own to go back to and practice on.
Yes. Yeah. Ton's described that, you know, one of the key elements of the program was access to coaching in between the different modules, and you've alluded to that yourself. I guess you will have, and I don't like making assumptions, but I'm going to make one, so correct me if I'm wrong here, but I imagine that perhaps you'll have been on other training programs where then obviously you walk away and you go and implement and you're supported by a manager. What difference did you find that actually having access to coaching in between the modules, what extra did that add for you and allow you to do?
Well, to have the coach from Excel and from Momentum that I could call, I mean, that person had been with me in those sessions. We had been talking about really deep stuff, and that my manager never was a part of that conversation and my development. So although my CEO back in Sweden knew my everyday life, I'd say that the coach had more insight into how I was as a person and what I wanted to achieve, and knew more about my plans on how I wanted to achieve it. So it was very much a big support to get the coaching calls.
Yeah. Fantastic. Great. So let's maybe sort of move on then and talk about results, because I'm sure people who are listening are really super keen to know. So what have been some of the key outcomes then of the program? So maybe, Ton, if I could bring you back in to give us the holistic overview.
Yeah, I think the key results of the program, I think to start with something which I mentioned also earlier in the podcast on our network. I think we have now interesting, strong networks across the EMEA region of people knowing each other and working together, which is good. We have seen a great number of people who went through the program, who developed themselves and moved into new positions that probably they have never thought of before, can do it. And of course, Clara on the podcast as well is one of a great example of this. So becoming the CEO of Mindshare Sweden, we have the same situation in the Netherlands, where we have a new CEO from the Momentum program, and in Belgium. And it's not a program to develop CEOs, it's a program to develop better and future leaders. So we also have a lot of other great talent who step into new roles and also sometimes roles outside of Mindshare, so within the group, which is not the real intention, but it's also helpful from an individual perspective if that helps in career building. And I think that the other thing which I only realized, because it was not an intention, I realized afterwards, is that it's also a kind of a magnet to talent. So if we are in the process of hiring great talent to Mindshare, and we talk about the program, then it really helps them. Then they understand we are quite serious in development. It's not something we only do in words or talk about, but we actually have something which we can offer them. Mm-hmm. So I think that's also a good signal to everyone that this is a successful program.
Yes, and I do imagine that from attracting and retaining talent, that it's a really, really valuable program for you, because it's a very much a talent short market, I guess, at the moment, isn't it? You know, particularly in the creative world. So I mean, Clara, we know that you're the CEO of Sweden now. I don't know if you went from your position into the program and then into this role, or if you had another stage in between. Maybe just share a little bit about how, you know, having come through the Momentum program, that did influence your career and where you are now.
Yeah, so when I had finished Momentum, I didn't step into this role immediately. So I've had a couple of years in between, and then I was managing our department of solution managers, as we call them, pretty much account managers. And then I was also taken into the management team in Sweden. And it was when our last CEO was leaving, or maybe a year before he announced it, that he told me that, but Clara, you're the one who's going to do this after me. And I was kind of like, what? No, not me. So I never thought myself, you know, in that position. But the more I thought about it, and I think that he pushed me in that direction, and the Momentum was a big part of it. But also, it's important to have your local leaders to support you and to make sure that you are also getting into new roles and new positions in your daily work, so that it's not only the Momentum that is making it for the people, but also you need the support from the local leaders to give you feedback and push you into new positions. So I've been in my role for just over a year now. Very, very interesting. And I also knew that we have been talking about it in our management team going back a few years, that we went from when Momentum was released, we knew that we always wanted to have at least one participant from Sweden. And we've also had two participants during 1 year. And I'm also thinking about pushing forward two for the start of the 19th class. So in my management team today, we are six, and four of us have completed Momentum. So I think that's a really good track record of where my Swedish leaders have ended up that has taken part of this program, and only one has left, and she left when she had just done the first module, so she never completed the program.
No. Well, it speaks volumes for, I guess, the quality of the program as well. And great to hear that you know, in your CEO role are now looking for, you know, how you develop your own leaders, you know, by joining the program as well. So that's hopefully that speaks for some great success. Now, I'm curious because obviously, Tom, when you were starting out on this journey, you described earlier it was sort of 2013, 2014. We're now in 2019. So I'm curious, perhaps, you know, how has the program evolved over time?
Yeah, I think, and also continuing on Clara's mentioning of her leadership team having is now a lot of people who are Momentum alumni. It's interesting that there is now more leadership focus in the different offices as well. So it's the Momentum people talk about Momentum, but also they stimulate more leadership development in the offices as well. So there's more focus on this. So and that comes to leadership. You are not born as a leader, or some are, but most not. But so it's something that we can help our people with to develop. So there's more, let's say, the attitudes to leadership development is growing in Mindshare, which is good.
Yes.
And I think if I look at the program itself, I think we will have a discussion with Excel before we start with the new year in June. So we have discussing the content and what do we have to change and what not. And the interesting thing that I found out is the content itself is not, it's not changing a lot, because it's all very relevant content. And in fact, you can say, well, it's leadership is changing in the last few years. That's probably true. But people are saying, well, it's a volatile world. The leadership is different. But at the same time, if you look at and one of my favorite books is In Search of Excellence from Tom Peters from the 80s already. Mm-hmm. But he already mentioned that successful leaders are those who learn to thrive in chaos. So, and I think if I look back at the 80s, it's probably was not as much chaos as it is now. But it's of all times. At the same time, I realize leadership now is that you have to work with, let's say, the different generations on the in your workforce.
Yeah.
So you have the millennials, you have the Generation Z. Their expectations from working are different than they were from other generations. So it's different to lead. So we have to adapt continuously the program. Although I say, well, the basis of the Momentum program will not change, but I think, in fact, the examples or the challenges that our people have are different.
Yeah.
So we talk with our trainers about that, and that's interesting to see how they adapt, and let's say, the training to that. And another thing which is interesting, and I mentioned it because there's so much more learning available now for our people, so through e-learning. But I think we stick to the fact that we feel learning, leadership learning is better in a socialized environment. So if you do this together, and I don't want to call it classroom, that sounds very old, but it is. If you bring people together, then. And also for the network building, but also for the leadership development. I think it's better to have, let's say, the training together, to have, how do you call them? The role play. I don't want to call it role play, because role play is always a tool, but it's, you know, you get that case studies that you can work on together. So,
yes.
And at the same time, and that's my last point, I think problem solving as a leader is something you are not alone in problem solving. You have this collaborative problem solving nowadays, and that you can do together in a team as well. So that's why I want to keep this momentum in this setup. And of course, change where we need to change, but I think the whole setup is great.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like it's working and delivering results. So that's great to hear. And also, I think the other thing, just to pick up on what you said, is that it also sounds like you are, you know, at the start of each year of momentum, you are consistently challenging yourselves and having conversations with the training team to make sure that the evolution of it is meeting the needs, you know, of this lovely chaotic world that we do live in, as you say. So it's not like you're just leaving it. You are constantly, you know, testing and challenging yourselves to make sure that the fit's right for the next cohort of participants, by the sounds of it.
Yeah, correct, yeah.
And so you've already actually, you know, I guess answered my next question really in terms of, you know, enhanced outcomes from the program, because you talked about the fact that there's a growing culture and awareness of leadership within the officers. Is there anything else that perhaps the organisation has realised as a benefit or outcome of the programme that maybe you hadn't anticipated, Tom? And it's fine if not. I'm just curious.
Yeah, I think one of the I don't know if I answer your question correctly, but I think what we get from the Momentum programme, and more people now in our organisation have went through this programme, then it's what we I call a culture of feedback. So I think one of the we have to be more careful and open to conversations with each other on our performance or what we can do better or what we could. So it's we create through this program also a different kind of cultural within Mindshare, which is good. And there's a lot of things which I can help support the markets on that as well. Yeah. So that's, I don't know if it answers your question, but.
I think it does, because you may not have set out to do that initially, but certainly that's something that's you know, has been gained, I guess, on the back of the program. So very finally then, if I could just come back to you both, what would you say you most valued perhaps, Ton, as a sponsor of a program, about your partnership and your collaboration with XL Communications?
Yes, I think what I value a lot is really the partnership. Let's call it that way. So that it's really an open conversation we continuously have with them, and it's not only with, let's say, the management or account management of the relationship, but also on the spot with the trainers and. I think that's the value that I see from the program, that we also have that consistency in the trainer, so they know Mindshare sometimes probably better than I do through all their conversations, and they use that back into the training. So I think that partnership is really strong with XL. Mm-hmm. If I want to ask something from Excel, then they know I want them to be present all around the world, but that's okay.
Yeah.
And they probably say they are, but the reality is we have to, but okay, that's okay.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think they you know, as you know, they have global reach. I think I know what you're saying. And Clara, yeah. You know, from your perspective as a participant, you know, if you could just summarize what you most value from being able to work with the trainers, both in the group setting and one-to-one.
The trainer that I had, Ruth, I just want to mention her because I thought that she was just awesome. She really, she really put her, I don't know, she just put everything into our group, or that was at least the feeling that we had. And we cried and we laughed, and it was so much, you know, emotions from all the group, but also from her. And I just think that the trainer you get, that's really important for you. And from what I've heard from my colleagues, all the trainers from Excel has been great, just great. So I'm just trusting in Ton that he's continuing to develop the program, just so it's constantly up to date. And also that we are giving feedback to both Mindshare and Excel to be able to to improve it further. And I also want to send some extra positive things back to Mindshare, because I don't know if that is a part of Excel or Mindshare, but if anyone that is listening and is thinking about doing this, Mindshare has done a really good job in also connecting the Momentum participants with the current leadership in the different countries. So as a fifth part of the program, the participants have been working on a project, and historically it has been presented on the European management meeting, which I also thought was very good and interesting for me as a future leader to meet the current leaders of Mindshare.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, Clara. It's a great point as well from the program. A success factor that I didn't mention so far, but it's true.
Good. Yeah. Thank you for bringing that in. Go ahead, Tom.
Sorry. When Clara is mentioning her trainer, Ruth, I think for the listeners, I think there are a couple of trainers at Excel. So Ruth, Joe, and Jilly, and Ruth and Chris in APEC, but they're all wonderful. So I got the same feedback from all the participants that if you think about a trainer before you go into a trainer, you think of someone, it's a kind of teacher, but it's not. It's someone who's really part of the movement or the leadership development movement, and also I see them all giving a lot of themselves to the group and getting back. So yes, the love and the tears, they're all there. I agree.
And I also love the setup in the room, because you don't sit behind a table. You sit just on your chair in a ring, which is very much, just the group gets so molded into each other. So it's just also around the setting of how it's done that I think was really good.
Yeah. Sometimes small things can make a big difference, can't they?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so very finally then, Ton, I'm just thinking that there will be people, like yourself, with a global talent leader position or, different versions of the title, potentially listening to this, within obviously the wider creative industry that you're part of, within the wider WPP group, and also organizations outside the creative industry that, will have been listening and valued a lot of what you shared. But I'm just wondering, do you have any words of advice of, if someone was in your shoes in another organization experiencing challenges around attracting and retaining talent, from a leadership point of view, are there any words of advice that maybe you'd like to share just as a closing comment, having had the experience you've had over the last few years?
Yes, I think the success of the program was a surprise to us, and as I mean the management team as well, because we always thought that we had great leaders in our offices and they develop the leaders themselves. So they take care of the succession planning and leadership development. But I realized it's so much better to take them separate and to treat them in a different way, to develop them through the concept of the Momentum program that we have developed together with Excel. So my advice was, don't take leadership development for granted. You have to take efforts to get it right, and especially with all the challenges in the business and in the new setup of the workforce in the coming years with all the generations. I think it's worth every let's call it penny to invest in this kind of development. But it's not sending people to a training. It's creating something in partnership with, in this case, Excel.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, thank you both for your insights and sharing your experiences about Momentum, the program. And hopefully we'll get a chance to speak again. So thanks very much for joining us. That's Ton Schoenebroek and Clara Gresslin. Thanks very much for you both.
Thank you.